The Bible says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment in equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And this evening, I would like to speak to you from the book of Proverbs regarding the way of wisdom, the way of wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us several times in His teachings that there are only two types of people living in this world. There are those who belong to Christ, and there are those who do not belong to Christ. There are those who obey Christ's teaching, and there are those who disobey Christ's teachings. There are those who believe that Jesus Christ is the only exclusive Savior, and there are those who deny that Jesus Christ is the only exclusive Savior. Jesus says, you are either for Him or against Him. You are either walking on the straight and narrow path that leads to everlasting life, or you are walking on the broad path that leads to destruction. You either love God or you love the world. You are either serving God or serving mammon. And naturally, throughout human history, men classify others into social categories and social categories of two kinds. Throughout history, the world has categorized men as either men or women, rich or poor, young or old, educated or uneducated, Jew or Gentile, for Caesar or against Caesar, religious or non-religious, married or single, Republican or Democrat. And when we read the book of Proverbs, we see that the authors of this book, like Christ, classify those in this world not in social groups, but in spiritual groups. Like Christ, we see that there are only two spiritual groups, and there are only two types of people in this world, those who are wise and those who are foolish. And this is what the book of Proverbs depicts. It depicts the ways of those who are wise in God's sight and the ways of those who are foolish in God's sight. We find in this book, the book of Proverbs, those things that please God and those things that displease God. We have listed the ways of God set against the ways of the world. And I suppose we could go deeper and say Proverbs is the spiritual instruction manual teaching us the lifestyle of a true Christian and the lifestyle of an unbeliever. The comparing and contrasting of the wise and the foolish. And this comparing and contrasting shows us whether someone is a good tree producing good fruit or a corrupt tree producing evil fruit. The book of Proverbs provides us with two opposing lifestyles, much like Paul does in listing the works of the flesh against the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Either certain spiritual attributes have been worked in us by God, or they have not. And if they have been worked in us by God, we ought to continue to exercise ourselves in these experiences of wisdom so that we might live a life that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord, so that we might know God's blessing, so that we might know that peace that passes all understanding. And in our reading of Proverbs, we need to read it not from an educational standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. The sayings given to us here in Proverbs deal not so much with our education as they do our eternal destination. The teachings here are not merely given to teach us mentally, but to transform us spiritually. They are given to help us draw near to the wisdom of God, who is the person of Jesus Christ. And that's where we need to see the life of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs teaches us wisdom, and who is the wisdom of God? Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, the wisdom of God is manifested through the gospel, specifically through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, it should be our desire in reading the book of Proverbs not to be wise in ourselves and for ourselves. The purpose in reading Proverbs is not to be wise for the sake of others or wise for the sake of the world, but to be wise for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul tells the Ephesians believers to walk in wisdom, to walk as Christ has walked, to walk in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. John says to walk even as he has walked. And our purpose in coming to Proverbs is to be a bright light for the Lord Jesus Christ so that others in this world might leave the way of folly and follow the God of wisdom. That's why God has given to us Proverbs. God has not given us Proverbs so that our minds might be puffed up with knowledge. God has given us the book of Proverbs so that our hearts might burst out in praise to God and that we might be an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, to his wisdom, to this lost and dying world. Now, having said all this, I want to provide you tonight with 10 main features of a wise man that this book emphasizes frequently. This is a compare and contrast of the wise man versus the foolish man. And if we are believers, we ought to want to be people who are wise, because that's what pleases the Lord. And that's what God commends over and over in the Scriptures. Of all the things Solomon, the author of many of these Proverbs, desired when God gave him the opportunity to ask for anything, Solomon asked not for riches, not for honor, but for wisdom, for a discerning heart. And this should be our desire, to know what is true and to please him who is true. Our desire ultimately in this world should be to walk in the way of wisdom. So what does that look like? And keep in mind also, when I say a wise man, I'm also referring to wise women. There's not a specified gender that I am referring to, one over the other. And as the Bible speaks of a wise man, he's including all people, and specifically Christians, to be wise. So what does a wise person look like? How does a wise person live? How does a wise person talk? How do they interact with others? Well, Proverbs tells us. And Proverbs begin by telling us that a wise man fears the Lord. That's first and foremost as we come to the book of Proverbs. A wise man will fear the Lord. And everything flows from this first point. If you want to be wise in this world before the eyes of God, you must fear him. Before dealing with man's relationship with others, Proverbs begins by placing importance on man's relationship with God. And this is the first and great commandment. The first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. If our relationship with God is right, our relationship with others will be right. If our relationship with others is amiss, it is only because our relationship with God is amiss. And that's the divide of the Ten Commandments. In the first four commandments, God gives us those things that deal with him and our worship of him and our service to him. And in the last six commandments given to us in the Decalogue, given to us in the Ten Commandments, deal with those things that relate to others. So we have to deal with the vertical before we deal with the horizontal. And that's where Proverbs starts. Solomon knows this. Proverbs chapter 1, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. And Solomon knew intimately the things of God. He had at one point a strong relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he begins here. And he spells it out in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." He doesn't talk about needing to know biology and chemistry and mathematics and the philosophies of this world to be a wise man. One can know all these worldly wisdoms and still be a fool. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction, and in particular, that wisdom and instruction that comes from God. Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So what does a wise man look like? You want to be wise? What do you need to do? You need to first fear the Lord. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, to fear the Lord means to live in the light of who God is. That is the fear of the Lord in its simplest definition. To live in the light of who God is. To fear the Lord is to be captivated with God's person. It is to possess a holy, reverential awe of His greatness, His holiness, His majesty, His power, His eternality, His sovereignty, His mercy, His love, His grace, His justice, His immutability, His omniscience, and His omnipresence. When we have these things being pressed in our heart all the day long, as Proverbs 23:17 tells us, when we live in the light that God sees us, He knows us, we are accountable to Him, that is what it means to fear the Lord. Fearing God involves doing what God says because He is the ultimate authority. He is our Heavenly Father, the one who loves us and has given life to us. There is a healthy fear that a child has to authority. There is a healthy fear that a child should have towards their parents, towards teachers, towards law enforcement. And this is what it means to fear the Lord, to do what's right, to honor Him. To fear God is not a servile fear that a prisoner would have toward a malicious executioner, but a reverential fear that a son has towards his father in a healthy, loving relationship. The fear of the Lord is wanting to do what God has commanded us to do. And to stray from what God has commanded to do brings within that a fear of displeasing Him. That's what it means to fear the Lord. And we have to begin here. And we might add, under this first point, that to truly fear the Lord is to come under His authority in salvation. If we truly want to fear the Lord, we must come to know Jesus Christ and understand that God is a God of justice. And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving faith, we will know the eternal wrath of God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God because He is a consuming fire. God is angry with the wicked every day. God is not pleased with our sin and rebellion. So to fear the Lord is to come under His authority through the person of Christ, receiving Christ's payment for our sin and acknowledging Him as the God who sent the Savior to be the Lord and propitiation for our sins. So we begin here. A wise man will fear the Lord. Point number two, a wise man will seek moral purity. And Proverbs paints this throughout the entirety of the 31 chapters here. Now, we would be here all night if we visited every verse that deals with the specific section of what it means to be a wise man. So I've only selected a few under each point. But the wise man will seek to be morally pure. And there's a natural connection between the first point and the second point. There's a natural connection between the fear of the Lord and departing from evil. And Job 28:28 tells us, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. To fear the Lord is wisdom, to depart from evil is understanding. And what was Job? Job chapter 1. Job was a man who was known to fear the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. So you can't have one without the other. Just as in salvation. Salvation is believing on God through Jesus Christ and repenting of sin. And that's what we see here. If we truly fear the Lord, we will depart from evil. To fear the Lord is to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates. The fear of the Lord will always produce moral purity, holiness, righteousness, and godliness. Now, you want to see a person who is spiritually wise? Then you will see a person growing in sanctification, growing in Christ-likeness, striving to mortify the deeds of the flesh and seeking to put into practice or vivify the works of the Spirit. Now, under this heading, let me give you three specific areas of moral purity that Proverbs speaks on. And he begins in this book that the wise man seeks moral purity, and he will be morally pure when he refuses to associate with ungodly individuals. The wise man seeks moral purity by refusing to associate with ungodly individuals. One pastor says, be as careful of the books you read as the company you keep, for your habits and character will be as much influenced by the former as by the latter. And the author of Proverbs, the authors, plural, of Proverbs, knew the truth that the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian believers, that evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good morals, so we need to be careful of who we associate with. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. My son, if sinners entice thee, sinners, those who are ungodly in their thoughts and activities, if they come to your ear wanting you to join them in their ungodliness, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. The warning sign comes out immediately in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, saying, be careful of who you are friends with. Proverbs 4, 14 through 17. The father continues to give this warning urgently to his son, because he wants his son to be wise. Proverbs 4, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. He's saying the same things over and over and over. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says that we need to be careful of the strange woman who flatters with her words. And throughout the Bible, we see this phrase, strange woman, which is an adulterous woman, which is one full of lust, seeking to pull the son away into worldly pleasures, being unfaithful to God and unfaithful in the marital relationship. And we see the adulterous woman, the strange woman, who does not belong to the son, also described in Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 7. And the father warns the son to be morally pure by avoiding her enticements. So if we want to be wise, we need to be careful of who we associate with. And if we want to be wise, we need to be careful of not giving in to sexual impurity. A wise man will refrain from sexual impurity. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 through 29, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the ways of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whoso toucheth her shall not be innocent. With this, I would add also that associating ourselves with godly people rather than ungodly people, and also refraining from sexual impurity, goes beyond just the physical connection, but it also spreads to a technical or technological connection, especially in our world of 2020, when we are haunted by billboards and advertisements and social media posts and videos and movies and internet access. If we want to be wise, we must refrain ourselves from perverse entertainment. How many good men have been destroyed by the foolish ways of sexual immorality. We need to keep ourselves from ungodly novels that stir up sinful passions. We need to keep ourselves from these things that would stir our hearts towards being unfaithful to our God and to our spouse. And under this point, Proverbs tells us, chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, that we need to drink waters out of our own cistern. We need to rejoice, men, with the wife of our youth. We need to not be ravished with a strange woman. And while this is directed specifically at men, it also has application for women. So this is not only physically, but mentally. A wise man will be careful what he thinks about and what he places before his eyes. Now, I think it was Luther who said, we can't help from the birds flying over our heads, but we can help from them building a nest in our hair. So we can't help the fact that we're tempted. And in this life, we see things that we don't want to see. And this will become more and more as things become more ungodly in our society. But we can fight against it. We can say with David, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them which go aside. It will not cleave to me. We can say with Job that we've made a covenant with our eyes. How then can I look upon a maid? We can be resolved in our seeking after righteousness, where we avoid that which is pleasing to the flesh. A wise man will be careful of the television shows that he sets before his eyes. He will be careful of the websites he visits, of the movies he enjoys, and the magazines that he reads. And so if we want to be a wise man, we will not associate with ungodly individuals, and we will refrain from sexual impurity. And we will only seek intimacy within the wonderful bonds of marriage. The wise man seeking to be morally pure is the one who's careful in choosing his friends, careful in what he sets before his eyes. And then also under this point, we see another emphasis in the book of Proverbs. A wise man will refrain from alcoholic beverages. And I know this has been a truth that has been scorned and tossed out of the window in most churches, but it is a truth that the Bible speaks about, and it's a truth that the Bible speaks about a lot throughout Scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs. Listen just to this one verse, Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What other passage of Scripture do you need to convince you of the foolishness of drinking? Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And I know we live in a culture that says, yes, but I'm strong enough. I can handle it. Yes, but I do it responsibly, and it's never caused me to do anything foolish. Yes, but Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Now, we're not going to go into that argument. That could be hammered real quick. We could talk about the impure water and the need for beverages during that time, and the alcohol content being much different than what it is today. Well, this is what the world delights in. The world delights in alcohol, and I don't think I need to convince you of that. This world revolves around parties, getting drunk, getting together and socially drinking and boasting about it after a weekend of fun on Monday morning. Drinking alcohol, the Bible says, is foolish because it makes us do foolish things. It seeks an escape through a feeling or an experience rather than God. It brings about a false sense of happiness. And sometimes drinking alcohol is only done because other people are doing it. And we know that that is never a good motive for the Christian to do just because everybody's doing it. And it goes on, past Proverbs 20, verse 1, Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. There we go to the first part. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. And we're going to see also the characteristic of a wise man is to watch what he says. But alcohol affects what he looks at and what he says. Yea, and thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of a sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake, and I will seek it yet again? Proverbs 31, 4 through 7. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. And these are only the words of Proverbs. Study the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 28. Read what alcohol did to Noah in Genesis 9. Read of what alcohol did to Lot in Genesis 19. Read of what it did to Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. And read what it did to King Ahasuerus in Esther chapter 1. A wise man will seek to be morally pure, and he will do so by not associating with ungodly influences. A wise man will refrain from sexual impurity, and a wise man will refrain from alcoholic beverages. Number three, a wise man will be careful what he says. Let me give you four subpoints under this main heading. A wise man will speak truth. And this is scattered throughout Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Proverbs 6. God hates, among all the things that God hates, God lists two things in a repetitive nature. It is, he hates a lying tongue, and he hates a false witness that speaketh lies. So you want to be wise? Speak the truth. Why should we speak the truth? Because we are representatives of the truth. God is a God of truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. We preach the truth of the gospel. God is the encapsulation of truth, and Satan is the liar from the beginning. He's the deceiver. He is the one who does not truth. So we ought to associate with God rather than the devil. And to do that, we speak truth with our mouth. A wise man will speak truth, and a wise man will think before he says. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. You've heard others say, perhaps we've said it ourselves, I don't care what other people think, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And you just let it all out like a fire hydrant. Proverbs says, that's not wise. Because when you don't think about what you say and you just let it flow, you're in for great danger. We could all give, I suppose, illustrations of this. Perhaps we should call the altar call now. This is the language of a foolish person who just utters all his mind, just speaks whatever comes. He will not weigh what he says, how to say it, or when to say it. And sometimes this causes contention to be stirred. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention. And some people like that contention, don't they? You know people who just love contention. They love a good argument. They love a good debate. They love just stirring up others. But we need to be careful that we aren't one who stirs contention for contention's sake. If we live truth and if we live for Christ, there is going to be contention. Count on it. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why shall they suffer from persecution? Because there will be contention. There will be people who hate you, not because of you, but because of your association for Christ. So there's no need in stirring up unnecessary contention with our big mouth. James tells us to be careful of this world of fire, this world of iniquity, because it can cause great damage. And the third point under this point is a wise man will refrain from impure talk. Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. The way of the world is to cuss, to use ungodly language, to blaspheme the name of the Lord, to throw around crude jokes at the lunch table and perversities. But this is not the way of the Christian. This ought not to be the way of the believer. The way of the believer is to speak things that are pure and holy and righteous and true. Words that edify. Words that would make us seem distinct from the world. But to be a man with a froward mouth or perverse lips only shows that we are identifying with the ways of the world. So a wise man will refrain from impure talk. And then number four under this main point, a wise man will not gossip. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. And the talebearer in the Hebrew means one who goes about. One who goes about talking. And in their talking, their busy bodies revealing secrets. The talebearer is the one who takes pleasure about talking about people and their faults and their failures only for the sake of personal enjoyment. And the Bible has much to say about this. We need to guard our mouth. And in guarding our mouth, we're guarding our heart. Isn't that what Jesus says? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you fill your heart with good and godly things, there will be good and godly things that will come out of your mouth. If you fill your heart with perverse things will come out of your mouth. And interesting, that's why in Proverbs, we are given the exhortation to keep our hearts with all diligence. If we're keeping our hearts with all diligence, we're setting a watch before our mouth. If we're keeping our hearts with all diligence, we're going to be careful what we say, because our words are powerful. Forget the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not biblical. Words do hurt. They cut. And they cut deeply. And we have in our tongue the power to help others, encourage others, strengthen others, comfort others, or the power to tear others down. So we need to be careful of how we use our tongue. Don't we sing that with the kids? Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Why? For the Father up above is looking down below. Be careful. Little mouth, what you speak. A wise man will be careful what he says. And we're just about halfway through. I'll speed it up. Number four, a wise man will work hard. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is no profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Proverbs 12:11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And there are many warnings given in Proverbs against laziness and slothfulness. God is not honored by laziness and slothfulness. God is not honored by those who fold their hands and take pleasure in their slumber. A little sleep, a little folding of the hands. No, this is a warning, especially for the young, especially in our millennial generation. Not willing to work because they can get more money from the government from unemployment. This is not honoring to the Lord. If a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. And God is pleased by our hard work. Do you realize Adam worked in the garden before the fall? He was given a job to do. And then after the fall, he was given more work to do. And he's going to work by the sweat of the brow. And this is God's divine way of the world. We ought to be people who work, provide for our family. And in our working, we are testimony of the Lord. And this is not only for men, but for women. The Proverbs give specific instructions for women working hard, and specifically working hard in their home. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And how can we talk about work and the woman working without referring to Proverbs chapter 31, an entire chapter on this godly, prudent Proverbs 31 woman. And we see in her character that she is wise because she's a diligent homemaker. She is industrious. She is faithful in mothering. And she is serving others through her diligence in her home. And so this is an exhortation to grow in wisdom. And if we want to grow in wisdom, we need to be people who work hard in every aspect. Work hard, children. In your schooling, that's what it means to be wise, to do your best so that you might grow in character and that when you grow in age, you might be diligent when you're given more responsibilities and you go out into the world and find a job. And we ought not to slack, Christians. Though we've worked hard in the past, we need to continue to put our hands to the plow and work hard. Number five, a wise man will listen. Listen to what? Well, first, a wise man will listen to the wisdom found in God's Word. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, not merely the commandments of men, but ultimately the commandments of God. We are to receive with meekness, James tells us, the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So to grow in wisdom is to grow in our learning of Scripture, and to grow in learning of Scripture comes by hearing Scripture. That is, exposing our hearts to the Word. And this is why God has given to us spiritual leaders and pastors. Not that they are perfect, but God has ordained pastors to be a source of help to Christians in giving them instruction of the Word. That's why the author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 13, remember them that have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God. They've spoken these things, you've heard them, so that you might grow. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they are they who watch for your souls. A wise man will listen to wisdom found in God's word. A wise man will listen to wise counsel. He will seek the wise counsel from others. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 12:15, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 13:10, wisdom is with those who receive counsel. And specifically, Proverbs paints finding wisdom, listening to counsel from parents. Children, you want to be wise? Listen to your mom and dad. God is teaching you submission to authority in the home. A foolish child, a foolish son, a foolish daughter hears what mom and dad says and decides to do what they want to do. So this is God's word. A wise person will listen to their parents. Their parents aren't perfect, but they will listen. A wise person will find helpful books and resources about spiritual things. This is what it means to attain unto wise counsel. When there are big decisions in life, a wise person will go to other people that they trust, people who are walking in the ways of the Lord, and ask them, what do you think about this? You know me. You've seen me. Just give me your 2 cents. Not that they're the Holy Spirit. Not that they are God. But a wise person will find a safety in the multitude of counselors. And how often this has been a tremendous help in my life. I can tell you instance after instance of going to men and women that I trust with big life-changing decisions. And I've asked them just to speak into my life. The decision to get married. The decision to go to Costa Rica. The decision to church plant into Seattle. The decision to come here. Have all been paved by going to others and asking them what they think of my big decisions. God gave us 2 ears, 1 mouth. For what reason? So that we might do more listening than talking. So wise men will listen to wisdom found in God's word. They will listen to wise counsel, and they will listen to correction. Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. Proverbs 15:10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. It is the fool who says, everyone else is wrong, and I am right. Especially when someone humbly comes to try to help them in their shady points of life that are concerning. A wise man will want to learn from others more than wanting to teach others. A wise man will listen to the correction of others without making excuses. A wise man will listen. Number 6, the wise man will fight anger. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes that anger rests in the bosom of fools. A wise man will control his passions. Rather than immediately reacting like a madman, a wise man stops and thinks of the consequences of outbursts and hurtful words and actions that may cause harm to his testimony. Now, the Bible does talk about a righteous indignation. Paul told the Ephesian believers to be angry and sin not. We are not pleased as believers of the compromising truth that is happening in God's church. We are not pleased with precious babies being murdered in the womb. We are not joyful with the lies, hypocrisies, and lack of leadership in our nation that is causing harm to our fellow citizens. We are not happy with the perverseness that is flaunted in the face of God. These things cause a righteous frustration and sometimes a frustration that we must speak against. But the warning of Proverbs here is to keep our anger clear of bitterness, viciousness, and unkindness. That's what it means. Be angry. Sin not. It's okay when you see something unpleasing to God to be bothered. But it's not okay to be vicious and bitter and take personal vengeance upon others. And the warning here is to avoid anger that stems from selfishness. And most anger stems from selfishness. You know, when we say, I can't believe what they said about me. I can't believe that they did that to me. And someone says something that we don't agree with. Someone does something that we don't agree with. And we just fly off the handles. Put it in 2020. July. I can't believe that Karen doesn't have a mask on at Walmart. What's the problem? I'm going to yell in their face. No. That's not wise. That's childish. And to lose your temper over small and petty things is not the way of the mature believer. So a wise man will fight anger. Number 7, a wise man will walk in humility. He will seek to walk in humility because God hates pride. Proverbs 6, God hates a proud look. The wise man does not desire the praises of others. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Proverbs 25:27, the wise man does not seek its own glory. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not good. So we will walk in humility if we want to be wise, and we will not seek for the praise and adoration of others. We will not do what we do to be gloried by men, but we will do what we do to glory in the Lord. And a wise man who walks in humility is someone who puts the needs of others before their own. And we see also in Proverbs that there is a genuine love for people and mercy specifically to the poor. And this is the friend who loves at all times. This is the one who doesn't despise their neighbor, but they have mercy on the poor and they are happy because they are wise. Number 8, a wise man will be careful with his money. As I mentioned Sunday night, how we spend our money demonstrates where our heart is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the wise man understands that every good and perfect gift comes from above. All that we are, all that we have, comes from the grace of God. The wise man sees himself as a steward, not an owner of what God has given to him. A wise man will honor the Lord financially. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. A wise man will be faithful in tithing and giving financially to the work of the Lord. The wise man will not be stingy. He will not hoard all things for himself. He realizes that money is a tool to expand the work of God. A wise man will be honest with his financial dealings with others. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And this is repeated in Proverbs 16:11 and Proverbs 21:6. A wise man does not take advantage of others in business dealings. A wise man does not lie and deceive so that he might gain and others might be left in the dust. A wise man will be honest with his financial dealings with others. A wise man will not trust in his riches. Proverbs 11:28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. And a wise man will not labor to be rich. Proverbs 23:4, labor not to be rich. So there's much to be said about wisdom and the wise man regarding his finances. Number 9, a wise man will trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 22:19, that thy trust may be in the Lord. The greatest manifestation of wisdom is trusting in the God of wisdom. And what do you suppose the greatest manifestation of foolishness is? To not trust in the God of wisdom. The foolish man looks to circumstances and allows circumstances to dictate what he does and how he lives. But the wise man looks to the Lord. The foolish man trusts in himself. The wise man trusts in the Lord. The foolish man trusts in the wisdom of others. The wise man trusts in the wisdom of the Lord. To trust in anything but God is idolatry, and idolatry is the height of foolishness. Number 10, a wise man will love wisdom. And he will love wisdom above all things in life. It will be more valuable than money or material possessions. Proverbs 3:13-14, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. What are men pursuing in our day? Money. The dollar. Heavy bank accounts. Gold. Security and possessions. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not compared to it. Just look at the celebrities in and out of drug rehabs. Look at the sports athletes in and out of marriages. Look at the world and all of its glimmer. It's false. It's fake. Though they may seem happy for a time, they are miserable. They are seeking to live for the dollar. But wisdom is greater than riches. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather than chosen silver? A wise man is one who loves wisdom and will seek after wisdom more than seeking for treasures. Proverbs 4:7 tells us wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And to love wisdom is to love Christ and His Word. So in conclusion, let me recap. A wise man will fear the Lord. A wise man will seek moral purity. A wise man will be careful what he says. A wise man will work hard. A wise man will listen. A wise man will fight anger. A wise man will walk in humility. A wise man will be careful with his money. A wise man will trust in the Lord. A wise man will love wisdom. And as I said at the beginning, true wisdom is not based on what you know. True wisdom is based on who you know. True wisdom flows from knowing God, the God of wisdom, found in Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom. And these attributes are found in our Savior. Jesus feared the Lord. He feared the Father as a man. He was morally pure. He was careful in what he said. Jesus worked hard. He listened to the Father. At the age of 12, he was in the temple courts listening to the teachers. He was never sinfully angry. Now, the Bible does say that he was angry at the unbelief of the others, but he did not hold a personal grudge toward others. Jesus was humble. He was clothed in humility. He took upon him the form of a servant. And Jesus did not serve for money. He used money aright. Jesus trusted in the Lord. And Jesus loved wisdom. True Christianity does not rest in what we say, but how we live. So let me ask, what qualities of wisdom do you lack? And in answering that question, ask God to work these qualities in your life. If we have not, it's only because we have not. If we have not, it's only because we ask not. So ask God to work these attributes of wisdom in you. Strive toward putting to death the way of the foolish man and bring to life the way of the wise man. And if you don't have most or any of these qualities, it may be evidence that you do not know the Lord. And if this is so, go to the Scriptures, because they are able to make you wise unto salvation. There are only two people in this life: the wise man who builds their life on the rock, the unchanging promises of God, and the foolish man who builds their life on the sand.